That's right. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. It's time for Oh Snap with Packers long snapper Brett Goode. It's Monday. He's on for his weekly segment. How you doing this morning, Mr. Goode?
Oh, doing really good.
Very good. First of all, congratulations after beating the Rams on Sunday. The Packers are officially on a winning streak. You've put together back-to-back wins for the first time this season. How tough of a task is it to string together consecutive wins in the NFL?
Oh, it's definitely tough. It's definitely tough to win on the road, and to win consecutive games on the road is huge. And, now we have to come home for two more games before the bye week, and it'd be really nice if we can stay on that hot streak until the bye, and then come off the bye with getting back in a groove.
Sunday also wrapped up a three-consecutive game road trip in which you won two out of three games. All things considered, is winning two out of three straight road games a pretty good accomplishment?
Obviously, we would have liked to have won all three. You don't go into any game thinking that you're not going to win. You want to win them all. But, it's a tough league, and it's tough to win on the road. So, I'm happy that we were able to get the last two, to bounce back after a loss to Indy. And, we just got to keep moving forward and keep building off of this and keep striving to get better every day.
By winning on Sunday, the Packers now have a record over 500 for the first time this season. Does a 4-3 record set you up well for the NFC playoff race?
It just puts us in a winning record right now. It's a long season. We got to win a lot more games, and we got to get into the playoffs before we can get into the Super Bowl. And so obviously, our goals are still ahead of us. So what they were at the beginning of the year, and so we just got to keep moving as a team and keep getting better.
We're talking with Packers long snapper Brett Goode this morning here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Brett, do you think that this team is building momentum and playing their best football of the season right now?
I think we're playing the best football we've played as a team, as a combined unit with all three phases. I think we're all playing together and we're all playing off of each other. And I think that's the best that we've had all year, the last two games. And so we've got to build from that. Obviously, I think we can try and eliminate on some of the mistakes that we had, and try and get better from that aspect of it. But as a team effort, I think that the last 2 weeks we've really played really good together, and so we've got to build off that and keep moving.
We've talked about this a little bit before in the past, but the Packers continue to lead the NFL in punts down inside the 20 after two more on Sunday against the Rams. How important is it to win the field position battle and have the opponent start drives deep in their own territory?
It's definitely tough. There at the beginning of the game, we needed to flip the they were able to keep us pinned back, and we ended up being able to flip the field on them. And, it's huge. It makes us play on a downhill field, makes them have to play on the uphill field. And that's what you want to do. You want our defense to be able to, have a lot of grass for them to be able to cover, and it makes them be able to come out there and just kind of pin their ears back. And so being able to do that has been huge, and hopefully we can keep it up.
You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but how good does it feel to be back home after three straight now? Are you excited to be back at Lambeau Field for this upcoming weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had the great fans that have been traveling with us, but it'll be good to get back in Lambeau and see all the full stadium full of Green Bay fans will be it'll be great to be able to see that again. It's been a while. It feels like it's been forever since we've been at home. So it'll be nice to be able to get at home and get a home crowd back to us.
Does it surprise you at all? I mean, maybe it's to the point where it doesn't surprise you anymore, but, I just sit there and listen to the John Kuhn chants in an opposing stadium and how loud they are, and it surprises me. Does it surprise you how many fans, come to the road games?
No, not at all anymore. It used to a long time ago when I first got up here, but anymore, I expect nothing less than what we've been having. And, the Green Bay fans have traveled extremely well, and, they've been able to be really loud in opposing stadiums, and that's really tough to do. And I can't thank them enough, and it's always great to see them on the road. And so, really looking forward to seeing the fans at home.
Can you give us a little preview of the Jacksonville Jaguars and what you expect from them on Sunday?
I haven't broke down any film on them yet, but I think that, you know, basically we got to go out there and play our game. That's what we do good at. We've got to go out there and try and expect more success and try and get three wins and get on a really good winning streak. And that's what we have to do, and that's what we can control as a team. And so it all starts this week on the practice field, and we got to have a good week of practice.
Sounds good. Well, Brett, thank you so much. Congratulations on the win yesterday, and good luck this upcoming week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Brett Goode joining us here at Cheesehead TV this morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to him, and thanks to you for joining us this morning, folks. Love to have you here. Love to be talking about a Green Bay Packers victory over the St. Louis Rams. A whole lot better than talking about a loss. And for the first time this year, we're talking about back-to-back wins. The Packers finally on a winning streak. Hard to believe, isn't it? You know, last year you get a little bit spoiled. The Packers are, they went 15-1, they went 13-0 before they finally lost there to the Chiefs. But I mean, it was always a winning streak last year, and now this year, it's a case where the Packers just, it was loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, and now finally putting together back-to-back wins. And you have to imagine it could be something that they keep the momentum going here. It couldn't have been built at any better time. I mean, I suppose any time's a good time for a winning streak. But, you know, the Packers win last two on the road here. And now they come back home for, finally back at home here against the Jaguars this upcoming week. But get two games back at home. And then you have a bye week. So, I mean, there's an opportunity here to really build some momentum and take that into the stretch run after the bye. So, really exciting times here if you're a Packers fan. And, after getting off to a little bit of a slow start this season, it's momentum is building, and it's fantastic. We got a drawing later, folks, at the end of the show. I'm going to have a drawing for the new Packers book, 101 Reasons to Love the Packers. We're going to be having a little bit of a trivia contest right at the end of the show, right as we're going off air. So stick with us till then. Just going to have a little bit of trivia contest. Whoever answers first on our live blog will win the book. So make sure to stay tuned until then. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here this morning as we're joined by our live blog directors, John Rahor, Jamie Jors, and we're talking about a Packers victory over the St. Louis Rams yesterday. We just had Brett Goode on the show to talk about it, and now we're kind of wrapping it up. And, if I'm going to talk about yesterday's win, I got to talk about the performance of Aaron Rodgers. He was just on the mark yesterday and really has now put together a string of games here in which he's playing well. The first couple games of the season, Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything really all too special. I wouldn't say he played poorly the first few games of the year, but was just kind of an average middling quarterback, let's say the first three games of the year, you know, when the Packers were 1-2 at the time, and just kind of down in the dumps a little bit. But Aaron Rodgers, especially the last two games, but really I think you could say since the probably week four against New Orleans, since that time, he's been lighting the world on fire. He's back to the MVP level. Yesterday, his passer rating, I think, was 132, something like that. Completed, I don't know the exact number, something right around the realm of, 32 of 38 passes for over 300 yards. Just completing a high percentage of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Jamie Jors is bringing up the exact stats on the live blog here. 132.2. He completed 30 out of 37 passes for 342 yards. The guy was just on the mark. He was hot yesterday. He was the reason the Packers won. And really, you know, the Packers were converting third downs yesterday, and that really got the chains moving, and you know, especially in the second half, kept the ball out of St. Louis's hands. The Rams went into halftime with an advantage in time of possession, and it just flipped in the second half. And it wasn't even like, you know, flipped to equal. It flipped in the Packers' favor rather handily because they just took possession of the football and just kept it. They just went on momentum, you know, building drives. They're converting third downs. Jamie George points out they were converting 60% of their third downs when their season average is 42. You know, it was amazing. DJ Protege on the live blog, who was at the game, pointing out there was a drive when we converted on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 3, and 3rd and 9. It's just really, truly, you know, just momentum building, you know, and keeping the ball out of the hands of St. Louis and running back Steven Jackson, who was having a good game yesterday in the first half, and that was so important to keep the ball away from him. It's a really fantastic job by Aaron Rodgers and company yesterday. And, you know, he got good performances from those around him as well, especially the wide receivers, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, especially having big games yesterday. Randall Cobb having 2 touchdowns, you know, just fantastic stuff what Randall Cobb is doing. Finally making him a big part of the offense, and, you know, understandably so. I can't see why the Packers would not want to get the ball in his hands 10-plus times a game, you know, whether it's runs, passes, returns, you name it. He's got to have the football, and the Packers are starting to get it to him quite often. So that is great news there. He's a threat from everywhere in the field. He had the Packers' longest run from scrimmage with a 19-yard scamper by lining up in the backfield. You know, there was a couple games there. The Packers used Randall Cobb heavily in the backfield the first game of the year. Not heavily, but kind of debuted him as a running back in the first game of the year. And then, you know, they really used it sparingly for the next several weeks. You know, he would do it here and there, maybe a snap or two a game. But then finally, they got back to it against the Rams, I think, a little bit more heavily, where, you know, he's in there in the backfield a couple times a game. They got to do that more often. The Packers just got to get Randall Cobb all over the field, put him in different situations, different formations, whether it's the slot, whether it's lining up as a running back, whether it's putting him in motion. They just got to do that with him all the time because he's such a threat. It's just going to drive opposing defenses nuts. They're going to be out of sync. You know, really good stuff that Randall Cobb is doing, and kudos to him. So the Packers offense, you know, really looking good yesterday. The running game really looking, the passing game really looking good. The running game didn't do all that much. You know, I'll give the Packers credit for this, for sticking with the run game even though it wasn't working. You know, you got to keep defenses honest, and they ran the ball and stuck to it. And, you know, I like that. I like that a lot, even though it wasn't working all that well. So kudos to Mike McCarthy for sticking with the run game and trying to get some traction going there for Alex Green, who, you know, didn't see a whole lot of daylight ahead of them. The offensive line basically had a rough game, you know, with, as far as pass protection, it was rough really early in the game, like the first quarter, and they kind of settled down after that a little bit, kind of got better in pass protection as the game went along. You know, Marshall Newhouse and TJ Lang on the left side of that offensive line might have had their worst game of the year yesterday, but, you know, they did get better as the game went on. The running game kind of rough the whole game. Got nothing going there, really. But, you know, a win is a win. We're not going to dwell on those negatives too much. But if we are going to, you know, criticize the offense for anything, that'll be what we criticize them for. But, you know, moving to the defensive side of the football, it wasn't a great showing by the Packers defense yesterday. But they got the job done. I think if we're talking about, you know, one performance, you know, if we talked about Aaron Rodgers on the offense, one performance that was really good, the one performance that you really kind of, you know, that stands out yesterday would be that from rookie cornerback Casey Hayward on defense yesterday. And it wasn't as if Casey Hayward was perfect. He gave up a couple catches here and there, no doubt about it. I mean, every cornerback does, but rarely did they let it kill them. He did give up the one long one there to that young Bengals wide receiver. What's his name? Rams wide receiver. It's killing me where he went with the 50-plus yard, you know, catch and run there. But anyway, Casey Hayward more than making up for it with his fourth interception of the year. Get Jamie points out. Chris Givens, that's right. Wake Forest product, if I'm correct. But you know, Casey Hayward making up for it with his interception in the second half, you know, which is another reason the Rams, you know, kind of lost out on time of possession. They just didn't have possession of the football when you're taking it away from them. But yeah, fourth interception of the year, all four within the past three games. And it was a game where, Casey Hayward was making the first start of his career because Sam Shields was out injured. And, it's a case here where I don't know if Sam Shields is going to get his starting job back just because how well Casey Hayward played yesterday and how well he's been playing all season. Four interceptions. I mean, that leads the team. I don't know. What is the NFL lead in interceptions right now? If somebody want to check that out on the live blog, you know, it's got to be up there. I mean, he's got to lead the rookies, at least in the NFL, in interceptions. So Jamie Jors on the live blog saying Hayward plays man well, sticks with his guy. When he falls or makes a bad move, that guy is wide open and in space. The team trusts him to stay on that guy, so there isn't a lot of extra protection there. Yeah, I mean, Casey Hayward getting the job done so far, you know. Like I said, he gave up some completions yesterday, but every cornerback does. These guys aren't going to be 100% perfect. You just got to hope they keep their men in front of them. They don't give up long completions. They don't give up touchdowns. And Casey Hayward did that yesterday. He didn't give up any touchdowns. And you know, I think he gave up, you know, I looked at the stats from Pro Football Focus, and we'll have ProFootballFocus.com's Nathan Yonke on the show on Wednesday. But I think Casey Hayward gave up four completions on the day, you know. Yeah, big whoop. but, yeah, so he's looking so good. And to go along with DJ Protege says, what was the grade on House? You know, I don't have Devon House's grade off the top of my head here. But I will tell you, for Devon House playing the first time of the season yesterday, active for the first time, I thought Devon House played really well. So that's good news for him. And, you know, it's a good situation for the Packers to have. If Sam Shields comes back healthy, I have no clue what the Packers are going to do with all their cornerbacks, because they are looking really good there between Shields and Hayward and House. Those guys are all playing well right now, albeit Shields is hurt. But, I mean, they're playing super. And here we go, the NFL interception statistics here, as I asked for, and thank you, Jamie. Hayward leads NFL DBs with Tim Jennings and Thomas DeCloud with four interceptions each. So tied for the NFL lead right now. Fantastic. So, yeah, the Packers, you know, have this luxury of depth at the cornerback position. You know, that is, I was just mentioning the young guys, Hayward, Shields, House. You know, that's not to mention the veterans, Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson there. I mean, the Packers really having some nice depth there. And you know, for one, that's good that, you know, I think we're looking at a situation where we'll never have to see Jarrett Bush back on defense again this year, hopefully. I mean, unless there's an absolute rash of injuries, but you know, it's almost difficult because You know, how do you keep all these cornerbacks active on game days? You know, assuming everybody's healthy, assuming Shields comes back, you know, it's going to be tough to keep Devon House active on game days, you know, when everybody's healthy. You know, there was a lot of guys yesterday who were just ruled out of the game, not just, Sam Shields, but I mean B.J. Raji, Greg Jennings, Nick Perry. When all those guys are ruled out, well, it's easy to keep guys active elsewhere on the roster. But when everyone's healthy, you know, some people got to sit. And I don't know what the Packers do. I don't know what the Packers do there. And maybe it's Sam Shields who sits. I don't know. It's, you know, I'm sure they'll try to find ways to get these guys on the field. It's probably not going to be too tough a job to keep them active. But as far as getting them playing time, it's going to be tough to keep everybody, you know, happy. So some of them might have to take on a little bit bigger special teams role. You know, that's something Sam Shields has done in the past, and perhaps it's up his alley because of his speed. How effective he can be on special teams, and maybe as a jammer on punts or a gunner, a jammer on punt returns, gunner on punts. So, you know, could be that type of situation there. But, you know, Packers defense, you know, they don't give up a TD until garbage time yesterday. So, you know, that's certainly a positive. The Packers defense not looking great yesterday. The first half run defense was terrible. You know, Steven Jackson was getting his yards. The Rams had, what was it, 90, over 90 rushing yards in the first half alone. And, you know, they simply didn't have the ball the second half, so that kind of stopped. But other than that, you know, the Packers rushing defense just so-so yesterday, or, you know, subpar, I guess. They had the big game the week before stuffing Arian Foster, and you thought, oh, geez, you know, maybe they're really going to have a good performance and do good once again. But, you know, kind of went the reverse direction against the Rams and giving up a lot of yards to Steven Jackson and company. And you know, late in the game, the Rams, you know, just being down by more than one score, they simply just couldn't really run the ball anymore. You know, they had to pass at the end. So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Packers run defense, you know, A.J. Hawk, I thought, you know, for the first time, maybe had his worst game of the year. Kind of up there maybe with that 49ers loss in week one. But that was certainly a little bit disappointing. Had troubles, you know, making plays in space like he always does. You know, the foot speed just isn't always there with A.J. Hawk, even though he plays smart. He's in the right position, just not quite getting it done. The defensive line outside of, you know, Ryan Pickett played his role good once again. Ryan Pickett doing the dirty work, most of it coming at nose tackle, but not getting a whole help elsewhere from the defensive line yesterday. A little bit of a disappointment, you know, from Mike Neal. He gets injured for one, but he does come back, so it wasn't, you know, apparently a serious injury, but, you know, that's kind of disappointing. You wanted to see him come back and play well, and, you know, not getting any help from Jarrell Worthy, C.J. Wilson, Mike Daniels. Those young guys there on the defensive line didn't do anything yesterday. But, you know, just disappointing there. But getting good play in the secondary from Casey Hayward. And, you know, Jamie here on the live blog is throwing out the superlatives here for Casey Hayward, citing Zach Heilprin of ESPNMilwaukee.com. The four interceptions for Casey Hayward are tied for the most by a Packers rookie since Marcus Anderson in 2002. And to imagine, the Packers are only seven games into the season. They got nine more to go. And not to mention the playoffs, hopefully. So a lot of time there for Casey Hayward to be good going forward and break that record, or, you know, break, you know, the record since 2002 at least. Here we go from the Pro Football Focus crew. Hayward continuing to show he's the best rookie cornerback in the league. He was targeted 10 times but only allowed 4 receptions, had a quarterback ratings against him of 33.8. That's you know, good right there. DJ Protege pointing out on the live blog, hopefully the Lions can beat up on the Bears. Yeah, tonight, NFC North showdown on Monday Night Football. So be fun to watch and the implications it will have for the Packers this evening on Monday Night Football. That's always good when, you know, when the Packers aren't playing, and but there's still some sort of tie-in for the Packers where you can watch, see some sort of implications involved for them. You know, the Bears are in first place in the division, so you want the Lions to win. You know, you don't necessarily want the Lions to win either, but at least they'll be taking out the first place team in the division if they can get that job done. So be interesting tonight to watch that on some Monday Night Football. I mean, yesterday, so much, you know, good things coming out of a win. The Packers getting above 500 for the first time this season. Their record now sits at 4-3, which sets them up well for the playoff chase. And you know, we mentioned it earlier, the Packers getting building momentum right now. They got two straight at home here before a bye week. And looks like we have breaking news here. As I see Jamie pointing on the live blog, the Carolina Panthers have fired general manager Marty Herney. Very interesting. Mid-season move here to be doing that. You know, see, seems like every week there's always one major move, isn't there? The week before with the Philadelphia Eagles firing their defensive coordinator there, Juan Castillo. Now this week, waking up to after a weekend of football action, the Panthers firing their general manager. Always one reactionary move every week, isn't there? Glad to see that it rarely has to do with the Green Bay Packers. So Packers sitting good with their front office and their coaching staff for the time being. Yeah. Oh, just you know, you're in such a good mood after a win, aren't you? The Packers, you know, setting themselves up nicely here for the playoff run. You know, we were asking ourselves early in the season, is this a must-win? Is this a must-win? And, you know, the Packers now getting away from must-wins and now looking, you know, trying to jockey for position in the playoffs. And you know, so much can happen between now and the end of the season. And I see some question here on the live blog from Leviticus 268. Speaking of midseason moves, any chance the Packers cut Driver to make room for the pup guys? you know, I don't think so. I don't think so. First of all, you know, what the Packers only have 52 men on their roster right now. So they're actually one below the minimum, because when they placed DJ Smith on season-ending injured reserve, they didn't make a corresponding move. I think the Packers knew that. Let's not make a move, because one of these guys are going to come off the pup list, either Frank Zombo or Andrew Corliss. And I wouldn't doubt at all if the Packers make that move this week here and bring at least one of them up to see which one of them, you know, is in the best shape, which one of them is the most healthy, which one of them can help us this season. So I wouldn't doubt it at all if they make one of those moves. Now, after they do that, though, they still do have to make two more, no doubt about it. So, you know, Leviticus 268 trying to look ahead here. Who goes when they bring up the rest? And you know, I'm not sure they ever do bring up Frank Zombo. It could be a case where the Packers eventually just do cut him instead. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But yeah, I mean, you know, eventually, who are they going to cut to make room? And I don't know. You know, I guess perhaps one of the least valuable members of the roster would be offensive lineman Greg Van Roten. You know, the Packers brought him up this past week, but you know, he's just, he's the eighth offensive lineman. He's never going to be active on game days as it is. So as long as the Packers stay healthy on the offensive line, they'll be fine. And you could always put him back on the practice squad. So that might be a move they make. Other than that, I'm not really sure. They have a lot of depth at safety with, you know, Sean Richardson, who actually just played the first game of his of the year yesterday. And, you know, he played on special teams, but he's not going to be needed on defense, really. Could cut him. You know, they're talking about Jarrett Boykin on the live blog. You know, he got time on special teams. Actually, you know, the past 2 weeks has gotten a couple snaps on offense, but hasn't caught any balls. You know, those are all candidates, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, it could be a situation where somebody else gets injured and has to go on injured reserve, and that decision is made for you, and you don't have to cut anyone necessarily. So, you just wait and see, let it play out, and see what the future holds. But yeah, it's 9 o'clock here. It's past 9 o'clock. So thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central, and we're gonna do our drawing here. Jamie, can you help me out with approving comments and see who answers this question first? Can you help me out there? Can you stick around for 10 seconds? Okay, here we go. We're going to ask a trivia question, and the winner, whoever posts the answer first, will win a free copy of the new Packers book, 101 Reasons to Love the Packers. We're going to do a giveaway here. So here's the question. With the Packers playing the Rams this past weekend, the first person to post the answer wins. The Rams' strength and conditioning coach is who? Their current strength and conditioning coach, who held the same position with the Packers previously. Who was this person? Their strength and conditioning coach also previously held the same position with the Green Bay Packers. I think he was with the Packers from 2006, 2008. Don't quote me on the years, but exact same person. And there we go. We have a winner on the live blog. Kyle Cousineau coming in, naming Rock Gullickson as the person. So I see a bunch of people are chiming in already with their guesses, but just a little bit too late here. So yes, it was Rock Gullickson. So we'll get that out to Kyle. Thank you, Kyle, for joining us here on the show. And thank you, everybody else, so much for joining us. In fact, I still got another copy or two to give away. So follow me on Twitter. I think later on I'm going to be giving away a book on Twitter as well. So if you want in, I'll do some sort of giveaway later. So make sure to follow me on Twitter, and we'll give out another book. So thanks everybody so much for joining us here in Railbird Central. Thanks to Brett Goode, our guest. Oh, Monday means it's Oh Snap with Brett Goode, our guest on the show today. And thank you to our live blog director, Jamie George, for running things there. We'll see you Wednesday, folks. On Wednesday, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. No assumption should be worth listing. They belong with someone else. Set in motion, which you're still missing.